plate. You picked up all the pieces and put me back together. So much better your way. So much better your way. Have you found that to be true? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I hear you over there. Wow. I'm going to do part two of the reality of influence this morning. Oh. God is so good, y'all. Can you relate to, I don't know where I left me, but he came and found me, you know, where I, he came and found where I left myself. That somehow something happened. Something went haywire. You were going along with God, but then life happened. Things happened. Something interrupted the process that God intended for you all along. And Jesus, don't you find him to be faithful? I found him to be so, so faithful in my life because I had a lot of pieces that had to be picked up in my life. He just scooped them up like they were nothing. Like it was the easiest thing in the world to do. For me, it had been quite a struggle. God doesn't struggle. He doesn't struggle. He's not going to struggle. What you have had happen to you isn't too big for him to come in. You say, but it's just glued on me. He's got this stuff that'll get rid of the super glue. God can unglue you from the thing that you thought you were attached to forever, the thing that was clinging to you, the thing that had teeth in you. It had teeth in you. It was holding on to you, and it hurt. Things that were hurting you. And the devil came with his lies and deceit. And a lot of it was through people. The lies and deceit. Oh, I love God. So much better your way, Jesus. So, so much better the Jesus way. Man. I'm continuing with the reality of influence from last week. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things from that. Wait a minute. Grosse le licce salomoro cotosa. Destede bava soma oroco. Darachrakea pavonomos o shitreva somas. In bavari tremesu vushi spela frakits. Stella brachishkane maharagrimo sokotoshka.
You have way more questions than you have answers. Life throws everything at you all at once. It wants to get you in a tizzy. Well, you run here, run here, run here. Then you have to run here, run here, run here. Then you got to run over here and run over here. Life wants to wrap you up and throw you away because you have way more questions than you have answers. I know all the questions. I have all the answers. All you need for life is me. That's all. All you need for life is me. Put away busyness. Put away fretfulness. Put away fear. Put away anxiety. Put away questions. And just live in me, the answer.
Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Well, what's the flow of your service there at Spirit of Truth? Well, whatever God wants to do. Whatever God wants to do. Isn't it Him? It's about Him. It's not about a schedule. It's not about when we do what we do. It's about Him. Our whole life is about Him. I know that was the Lord. I hope you received that word. I received it from me. I mean, when a word goes forth, I always say, well, God, I mean, I'm assuming you're speaking to me too, because you could have told me anytime. So, you know, we don't just walk away from a word and say, oh, well, bless their heart. No, it's we're be in tune and listen, because God's speaking to us. The busyness of life will cause you to run here and run there and do this and do that. And He said, whoa, y'all need to chill. Take time for God. Take time for God. You may have to get up earlier. Well, then get up earlier. Duh. Get up earlier. If it changes you, if it changes your day, if it changes your energy level the whole day. Do you know God is the original Energizer Bunny? They used to have the commercial about the battery. I don't know if it was alone. I don't even know they still have it. But, you know, you know, it's like it just keeps running, keeps going. You know, a lot of times when you need to be replenished, you think you need a nap. No, you need to be with God. He will energize you. You are a spirit. You live in a body. And yes, it has to have a certain amount of rest. But we also serve a supernatural God. And He will energize you in ways that you didn't dream. And all of a sudden, you're fortified in your spirit again. And then your spirit begins to dominate that day instead of your thoughts and worry. Because you gave that time to God. I started this, the reality of influence, last time when we were talking. And I said, I had been driving along in my car. And I heard myself say to God, I want my now to affect someone's future. I want who I am now, not 10 years from now, not 2 years from now. I want where I am now to affect someone's future. This is why we're on the planet. Otherwise, you would just get saved and leave the planet. Why stay here? Do you ever wonder, well, why am I here? I'm telling you. Because God doesn't just care just about you. You get saved and you go on to glory and whatever. But there are other people who need to know what you know. They don't know. It's obvious. Is it not? Isn't it obvious that people don't know about this incredible love of Jesus? That you don't have to live just fretting and worrying every single day of your life? Do you know how draining that is? I see some people, they're just always worn out. They never have energy for anything. I mean, nothing. And I also said, this is what had happened to the disciples. The life of Jesus affected them. And they were so affected by the life of Jesus that when He ascended into heaven, they began to turn the world upside down. People got saved, delivered, set free. They heard the truth. They believed the truth. And it went and went and went and went. And then those people told other people. And those people told other people. Who are you telling? Who are we telling? We're here today. It's easy here, right? Who else are you telling? Man, there are people all over the place. You run into them. There's a reason. There's a reason why it was them that day that you ran into at the store or outside. You know, like me recently with somebody. They were just on a bicycle. I said, hey, you know, flagged me or whatever. Had a conversation about the Lord. Had a conversation about God. I think we have a lot more opportunities than maybe what we're taking. And I'm saying we. I think we have a lot more opportunities than what we're actually taking because we're busy with our busyness. Because of fretfulness and worrying and anxiety about what am I going to do about this? Well, what am I going to do about that? What am I going to do? And so while we're doing all those things, we're actually not living our life. Because
The life that I now live is Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that we're to be living while we're here is about Jesus and his dominion on the earth and how he flows through us to touch other people. Part of the reality of our influence is also the power of decision. We have the power of decision. Our decisions in everyday life, all of our everyday life events, create our journey. Our journey where we are right now was created. And it wasn't by some other person. It was by us and our choices. We have made choices that have brought us to where we are today. My choices took me other places before I was here today, as some of you. Well, who could I blame? Nobody. Nobody actually made me do it. Nobody put a gun to my head to make the choices I made. Did anybody put a gun to your head to make the choices that you made that made your life such a mess? No. No. And some people will say, well, you just don't know how I grew up. We don't know how I grew up either. We don't know how all of the apostles grew up. You know what? It was of no consequence or no substance. It was so irrelevant. They didn't write about it. Your now is all that matters. You can't do it. I mean, what are you going to do about when you were 12 years old or 14? What are you going to do about it? Nothing. What can you do? You can't go back. You can't undo anything. And so it's this forward motion always through the scriptures. It's a moving forward. Okay, that was that. It could have been something yesterday. It doesn't matter. You're not in yesterday anymore. You can't have another yesterday. You're here now. So you just have to learn to move forward. And God can even with the poor choices that we may have made in the past, do you know God can redeem even the choices? He can redeem so many things in your heart, in your life, in your family, in your mind, in your body. He can redeem choices that you made. He's a God of redemption. He's a God of new beginnings. He's a God of start over. He knows where all your pieces are you left scattered. He knows the pieces of your heart that are still broken from something. He understands that. He knows that. Wow. Other people's decisions, yeah, they can affect our journey. Your decisions are affecting somebody else's journey right now. Who are your decisions affecting? Your outlook, your attitude, how you see things. How is that affecting somebody close to you now? See, if you live so much in the past, you're never here or you're never present. Now God is. He's here. God is a present God. If you're always focused on the past or maybe something you've been through, well, who has it been through? You may have been the person that made somebody go through even something. There's that side too. But either way, you can't unravel it. So God says, I'm coming into your life and I make you somebody you never were before. How about that? So if I'm somebody I never were before, then my past becomes pretty irrelevant, doesn't it? Because now God is. The devil is the only one who ever comes at me to try to remind me of anything that I messed up the day before, the day before, the day before, last year, 20 years ago, whatever it is. He's the only one. Why? Because it's really irrelevant now. It's really irrelevant. It doesn't alter your witness, does it? Or do you let it? See, if you ever feel really qualified just in your own to witness and be a testament of the grace and glory of God or whatever, I mean, you'll never do it in and of yourself. Don't even make witnessing about you. Make witnessing about Jesus. Make witnessing about Jesus. Because you're influencing someone. Your attitudes are influencing someone every single day of your life, whether you realize it or not. The closer you get to a person in a relationship, or even in proximity, can affect your decisions, ideas, and your future plans. You need to think about that when you're around people, that you being around them could affect their decisions, their plans, and their future. If you grew up without stability, what I call crazy mess, if you grew up with a bunch of crazy mess in your house, then you have to somehow be around stability to even know what it is. Like, how would you know what stability is? You didn't grow up in it. You don't know what it is. What does it look like? What does stability do? If you're a really stable person, what do stable people do? Because some people grew up in houses that were just like, you never knew what was fixing to happen. Within an hour, everything could shift dramatically. Yeah, lot of heads nodding, I know. And so that's not, we think that's real uncommon. No, it's actually very common. It's actually very common. I mean, there's just a lot of things going out there, going on with people all over the world. But you say, but I want my children to have stability. Then you'll have to have stability. They have to know what does it look like? What do stable people, what do they do? What do stable people do? How do they cope with death to someone close to them? What do stable people do? What does that look like? And all I can tell you is nobody does it perfectly. Nobody does this perfectly. Why? There's only one who's actually perfect, and it's Jesus Christ. But he came and he said, yet I show you a better way. I can show you a better way to do life. I sure can. I know I was there. See, it's like, it says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, because he saw it. He lived among, and these were people he loved. He loved his mother. Was she perfect? No. Mary was not perfect. He died on the cross for her. She was watching him. Died for her sin too. There was none perfect. There's none righteous. No, not one, the Bible says. So there was nobody who's perfect. There aren't perfect people. There's a perfect God who loves them anyway. And this is the only reason that we can ever go to heaven is because of what he did. Not what we do, but you want to become more stable. Well, why do I say that? Because then you're going to become more like Jesus. He was so consistent. He was the most consistent being that's ever walked the planet. Jesus was the only one who was always, every single time, totally consistent. He never sinned. Sin is what makes you daft. The sin nature and yielding to it is what makes you really just stupid. You do stupid stuff. And later you look back and that was the dumbest thing I ever did. Yes, it was. It absolutely was the dumbest thing you've ever done. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And sometimes you've done a dumb thing, but your heart wasn't really there either. Your heart wasn't even in what you did, and it was wrong. I know sometimes this hits so close to home. It hits so close to home when I preach this stuff. But God, why does he have me preach this stuff? Because he loves us so much. I mean, you could look up a bunch of scriptures and you can do all that. But then what happens in here, though, with it? What are you going to do with it? You read it, but now what? And you got to know that God knows your now what. He knows what that is for you. He saw it. He was there. And he loves you. As if it had never happened, as if you had never sinned. He loves you like you're perfect. He loves you like his son. This is how come you can have the Spirit of God, the Son of God, living in you, entwined with you, made one with you. Did you know when you're born again, you're a son of God? Sonship is a position. It's a position in God. Did you know we all have the same position in God? We're all his children. We're all his children. So the reality of your influence, your stability, what you do with your time, the words you say, all those kinds of things, they're going to influence somebody in your world. You're influencing someone right now in your everyday job, your everyday world. You are an influence whether you want to be or not. Now, My question is, do you like the influence you are? This is just a question for you in your own mind. Do I like the influence that I am? And is any part of me an influence for Jesus on my job? Is any part of me at any time, maybe at lunch break, I don't know. I don't know what that would be for you. But I'm asking you to, we got to look at ourselves. And it's not so that you can be hard on yourself. God says, I'm here to help you. He just wants you to be honest with yourself. Because see, that honesty is imperative in order for us to have the right alignment with God. It's not, you can fool everybody. You don't have to fool God anyway. And he's not doing it so he'll know. He already knows. Trust me. He already knows. He wants you to know. He wants you to see it. He wants you to look at it. And then he'll say, no, I never want you to look at that again. I never want you to go that place in your head again, ever. It was so damaging. It was so damnable. It was so dirty. I don't ever want you to go back in your head again and deal with that again. It is not worth the brain I gave you. Don't let things trigger in your mind and live there and soak in it and think about it one more time. Every time that thought rises up in condemnation against you, you condemn it. You throw it down. It's not fit to be in your head anymore because Jesus moved in your body and he's living with you. And he didn't want to look at it and you don't need to be looking at it. And he says, so we're in agreement. Get rid of it. Don't bring it up. Don't talk about it. Don't make it your conversation. Quit wallowing in it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You say, well, wow, that sounds so harsh. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. So what does stability look like? When you're around certain people, can you feel stability in them? Can you be around certain people and you feel it's not there? There's always some. I mean, they some figured out how to drive around to wherever you met them. But you in the conversations, you can hear it. You can hear it in conversations, instability. And sometimes people just go through some real hard stuff. You know, and they might be a little more chatty about that than they were because they're going through something hard. Well, that's your opportunity to share the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can live in a peace you don't even understand. It says it passes understanding. It's a peace that comes, but it's from God. It comes from just, God, I'm trusting you with this. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know where this is going. Whatever your situation is. I don't know, God, do you want us to add on to the house? How much of the house you want us to redo? God, I don't know. You know, whatever it is you're dealing with. Because he knows your future, the one he has for you. And that's the best thing that you can have, is that stability that comes from God that's for you. But he wants you to be able to live in it while you're here. While you're here is when you need it. Why? Because you have got to be an influence for the gospel. You're an influence whether you want to be or not. You're either an influence for God, the gospel, or you're just not. Okay? So it's not like you're not an influence. I mean, there were some people in our lives before, they were a terrible influence, but they were an influence. They just weren't a very good one in our lives. And the other thing you got to do is you got to forgive all those people. That's easier to do than forgiving yourself, by the way. Sometimes you really got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive yourself for holding on to it so long and not throwing it down a long time ago. You're going to have to forgive yourself for all kinds of stuff. And I find that that's harder. Forgiving other people is so much easier to me. It's different for different people. You know, when your witness comes from your place of stability, your witness is going to come from a place of stability or instability. Like these chairs, okay? They're just the church chairs here. It's got to be a sturdy chair if somebody weighs like 350, okay? If somebody's like, say, 350 pounds. It's got to be a good sturdy chair. But it's stable. It's a good chair. It's a solid chair. Yeah, you can sit in it. They're fine. We're good. We're good with our chairs, okay? So, but there's some things you go to press and it'll crunch up. It can't hold it. God can handle your stuff. God can handle your stuff. He is stable. He is fixed. He doesn't crumble up because of something that's going on in your mind or head or your day or even what's happened to you. Why? Because he's a fixer. He can redeem things. If you'll allow him, he can redeem things. And one of the things you'll have to learn is to allow other people who have hurt you the privilege of changing themselves just like he gave it to you. And then you don't treat them like they used to treat you and your attitude toward them anymore. Any more than you would want them to do that to you when you've changed. Y'all understand? Because sometimes we want people to give us a slack we're not willing to give. We'll give and then it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, right? So if you want God to forgive you, which he does anyway, because Jesus did that on the cross. You were already forgiven. It's just a matter of will you receive it or not. But your stability has to be there, just like a sturdy chair. You're there day in, day out. You're there day in and day out. Why? Because that's an influence you have in someone's life. You just always get back up. You just always get up. No matter what's happened, no matter what's gone on, you manage to get up and you manage to do what God wants you to do that day. Did you know that is a power? People like that are powerhouses. Did you know that? They just keep going. And I've seen this in people's lives, and I admire it a lot. I admire it a lot that they're not thrown by the circumstances of life. And that is a powerful, powerful influence for Jesus, of the keeping power of God, the stability of God, and his ability working through a person, a flawed person. Everybody's flawed. Nobody's perfect. But that God will come in and do something in that person and go, wow, I wish I could be like that. How can they be that consistent? They're sitting in a sturdy chair. Jesus is the sturdy chair. You can get up and walk around if you want to. You can go find another chair, but it won't hold you like the one Jesus will. Not the one like he has. But you've got to, it's that stability. You have to be as stable as that chair. That if something comes down it really hard, it can still hold it and maintain. We've got to be a sturdy chair for other people. They're crashing all around us. They're crashing all around us. They hurt so bad. They're going through things. And I don't make light of anything anybody's ever gone through. I do not. I just don't make light of God. And his power and his ability to stand people back up. But people need, where's a sturdy chair? Where's a place where I can land with all my stuff? Because I'm confused or I'm messed up and I know I'm messed up and I know I wasn't taught right. I know all these, you know all this stuff. Where's a place where I can land? And God says, my people, you are the places, you are the chairs. And you introduce them into the ultimate chair, the one who sits on a throne, right? Make sure he is the one over your heart. Jesus is always your source for stability. If you're lacking stability, it's because you're not running to Jesus. And it's a lot of times it's just you don't know the word. You know, I always encourage people, get in the word. Your stability is in the word, because either you're going to believe the word or you don't believe the word. That's really what it amounts to. You can keep having the same train of thought that you always have, or you can decide to get in the word and say, from now on, I'm going to think this thought about it. From now on, yes, Lord, I see that. I'm going to change the way I think about this. I'm going to change it to the what you say about it. And then you just adapt your life to it. But the scripture will come up and talk to you. When the word is alive in you, you don't even have to go look it up. It's like it just comes to you in the moment. This is how God speaks to you. He speaks to you mostly through his word. He speaks to you more times than not through his word. This is why you devour the word of God. Some people, well, I don't hear anything from God. Get in the word. Get in the word more. He'll talk to you. He talks to you. I promise you he does. It's like give him space. This is just how he designed it to work. This is how he designed it to work. So this is why it works this way. And it could just be one scripture. One scripture from God can change your whole life in an instant. Just one verse of something you've been dealing with. But if you'll read, have some sort of reading plan where you read through the Bible and just read and read and read. And you will discover things you never knew were there, you never even heard preached. You don't know that it's there. What you don't know can hurt you. People say, well, what you don't know can hurt you. That's not true. What you don't know can get you in hell. It's serious what you don't know. But we don't have to go there. We've got a Redeemer, one who loves. But Jesus is always the source of your stability. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is always the same. When you are approaching Jesus in prayer, you are approaching the same one that walked on the planet. His spirit is the same. It was the Spirit of God that was in him. So he hasn't changed. He is always the same. What does that tell me? He's always consistent. Jesus is very stable, very consistent. He's never changed. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. I'm the Lord, I do not change. See, to me, that's a powerful influence. When I know that God doesn't change, that he's not fickle, and that he always honors his word, that gives me a lot of confidence in God, the one that cannot lie. He cannot. Hebrews 6:13 talks about that it's impossible for God to lie. Look, as let's read it. Are we Hebrew? Okay, there it is. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Praise God. It says, it's like he cannot lie. When you're dealing with God and you're dealing with a situation, something in your mind, something in the past, something at work, you need to know you're dealing with somebody who is a straight shooter every single time. He always just tells you the truth. Now, if you don't want to be around people who are, have y'all ever been around somebody you just don't want to be around them because you know they're really going to tell you the truth? You just don't want to hear it. That's not exactly what you had in mind that day, the truth. You want somebody to kind of whine with you a little bit. Oh, I'm so sorry. Bless your heart. How does that help you stand up and be strong? How? And I'm not saying that you're not sensitive when somebody's gone through, like Susan, a death and, my gosh, 3 deaths in 6 months. It's just inconceivable to me. Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Like, what a foolish thing to even think. That's the inference there, that he won't lie. He's not a man that he should lie. So everything, God's promises are yes and amen. In other words, they're established. His promises are his word to you. When you're reading the Bible, God is speaking to you, promises to you, out of his own character, out of his love. In Titus 1:1-2, Paul was a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ according to faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul said, I'm preaching this because he told me to, period. I called you, I've told you to do this. And Paul simply obeyed. But there it is again. God cannot lie. So I'm looking, what I'm talking about is this consistency in God, that if you, if we're people of influence, there's got to be a consistency in us. There's got to be a consistency in us that the same thing we said about that last week is the same thing we're saying this week. If you have to change what you're saying, then go back and look at your conversation again. And learn. I mean, we have to learn. God knows we need to learn. So if you make a mistake, it's not like you're a bad person or a terrible Christian. It's not like that. God just says, I just want you to see, and yet I show you a better way. He just wants us to see things and have the right perspective. The incredible consistency of the character of God that does not change makes him incredibly trustworthy. He's very stable. People are looking for stability. They want people who seem stable. They need that stability. They want to believe somebody who's stable. Is that true? Yeah. So we have to take advantage of his stability, because in and of yourself, you can do nothing, remember? So you're not relying on yourself to be able to pull this off. This is why he came to indwell us. Jesus said, I'm doing this with you, remember? Your spirit has been made one with my spirit, and I need you to read my words so you know what that means and how it's going to affect your life, how it's going to change you. And how, as you change, you're going to help other people begin to change the way I did it in you. It's God helping us with living on planet Earth. Your stability in God can be a powerful influence. I think it's the most powerful influence we have. Is you're just stable in God. You're stable day in and day out. You're consistent in your walk with God. Because for a lot of people, they never saw stability in their family growing up. It was just crazy mess. And so they're learning. They have to learn stability. We all have to learn stability in God. Everybody apart from God is just a walking loon. Some hide it better. But they're messed up. They're messed up. They don't want to be messed up, though. They really don't. They just don't know that there's a God out there who loves them enough and can change them. And that's where we come in. Our job is to tell them that thing, that good news. So never underestimate the power of your influence. Never underestimate the power of stability. And all you're getting, get understanding of the power of that stability in you to influence other people. Because you're an influence either for God or not. So how are you using your influence in your world where you work? How are you using your influence with your coworkers? The last job that I had before I actually knew I was going to the ministry and that I wasn't going to do that anymore, I was at a training seminar in New Orleans with a couple of guys from work as a psychotherapist, and they were we were all going to this workshop. And we're sitting at the table at some Mexican restaurant, David and Paul. I remember them. Anyway, we're having a conversation. I'm just eating my Mexican food, talking with them. And one of them, who was away from church, his father was an Episcopal minister, priest. And all of a sudden, he put his fork down. He said, don't you know you're called to preach, man? How can you not know that? That's what you're supposed to be doing. So this backslid. He wasn't even in church. I won't even go into everything that else was going on. And then the other guy over there who didn't pretend anything about anything, he said, yeah, that's what it is. That's what that is. You're called to preach. And I just sat there and looked at him. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because I was so turned on when I got turned on to God. I was so turned on to God. When you're really turned on to God, you just find your conversation ends up being about God. And somebody said to me one time, no matter what we start talking about, you end up talking about God. Like they're annoyed. And I was going, oh, that's awesome. Not the response they were looking for. But because, you know, you think that was, that's annoying. But everything that came up the conversation, I'd say, well, I don't know, because the Word of God says this about that and everything. And they're just trying to eat dinner. We all rode together, so we all had to ride back together, you know. And finally, I just remember Paul putting his fork down, and he just goes, don't you know? I said, well, don't what? He said, I don't see how you cannot know. You're called to preach. So the first two people who told me I was called to preach were men. The irony of it all, right? Called to preach. So, but influence. I'm just saying, and I wasn't even trying. I had just fallen in love with God. Oh, my goodness, I had gotten gloriously, I've just this encounter with God, and my life was just so new, and just, I don't know, it was just like, I felt immediately a whole bunch of stuff just fell off of me. Desires that I had, things that I thought were, they just fell off, almost like chains. It was just like chains coming off, and I was unfettered, and I was just kind of turned loose on the general public. And some of that was good, and I don't know if some of it was or not. I don't know. But I just remember that experience of being in that workshop down in New Orleans. And they're probably thinking, we're not going to have any fun here. I may have been a prevention for them. but our stability in God can be a very powerful influence to people want to know, well, why are you so happy? Why are you happy today? And why aren't you afraid? And why aren't you troubled? What is that? Because it was God. Actually, I had somebody ask me that time, what is it about you? I go, it's got to be God. They said, well, tell me about that. What do you mean it's got to be? And I got to witness to them. They got born again. I mean, this was I was still working in the hospitals and stuff. Is there enough change in us for people to notice? People have known you a long time. Have they kind of watched the seasons of your change? Have they been able to see it in you? I think that's a big deal. I really do. And I ask myself those questions. Why? Because I know I'm an influence. We're all influencers. Smith Wigglesworth, as many of you know, was an awesome man of God, moved in incredible miracles. He died in 1947, went on to be with the Lord. Well, before he got saved, he was awful. Oh, he was terrible. And he wasn't very nice to Polly, his wife. She was saved. She was born again. She was a very hard worker. She worked in the Salvation Army and different things. And, you know, he was okay with all that as long as it was there. But she got happier and happier in God. She could be, and she was reading her Bible a lot, and she just, you know, and he was just really a real toot. He was just really giving her a hard time. And so one night, she had his dinner or whatever, and he, you know, ate dinner or whatever, and she's getting ready to leave. She was going to go to church. And he said, I don't want you to go. You're not going tonight. And she turned around, she said, now, Smith, you're my husband, but you are not my Lord. And he huffed and puffed and everything, and she very quietly, you know, left the house, whatever. When she got back to the house, he had locked her out. She sat on the stoop, leaning up against the door to sleep all night long. She never banged on the door. She never said anything. And when he opened the door, that's when she fell through the little threshold there, because he opened the door, she fell into the house. And she got it real quick, and she said, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. I'll have breakfast ready in just a minute, baby. Don't you worry about a thing. And went in there, and he felt like such a jerk. He felt like such a jerk that she had actually slept out there all night, just up against the door, and that she jumped up and was so sweet to him. He ended up getting saved. We know the rest of the story. But that was a big part of his beginning to see himself. That he was selfish. He was really selfish. He thought he should be in charge. And she said, you're not my Lord. You're not my God. You're my husband. I love you. But you're not my God. And and the rest was history. And we saw miracle after miracle after miracle in this man's. Matter of fact, he was so devoted. I mean, he would spend just a few minutes eating his meal, and then no matter where he was or who was there, it didn't matter to him. There was nobody important to him but God. He really was no respecter of persons. And when after he ate his meal, instead of everybody sitting around and having small talk like people do, he would get up and leave and go spend time with the Lord. Yep. She was a person of influence. Think about what I'm saying. Her Christian witness, instead of blowing up at him for being so hateful to her, that she slept outside, just wrapped up in what she had that night, and, you know, just leaning up against the door, no pillow, nothing, just on their stoop. Not to mention if anybody saw her, the embarrassment, my husband's locked me out of the house, whatever, I don't know. Our influence matters. Turn to Psalm 57, please. I love the Psalms, and I love a lot of the things that David has written. And I'm just going to start in verse 7. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. For let your glory be above all the earth. And part of that word, I think in the King James it says, my heart is fixed. In other words, I've got something settled right here. This is where I land, right here. My heart is steadfast. My heart is fixed. I will praise you no matter what, God. And even though David had some bumps in the road, because he wasn't a perfect person, wow, he did serve God. And he went to his grave. He was in praise. He saw the glory of God. God used David in a mighty, mighty way to defeat the enemies of the Israelites and all kinds of things. We see that even from a child. You know, God has a plan for you I believe that God sends a spirit and then it's clothed in flesh. And it's God. He's the creator of life. But I look at the influence of Smith Wigglesworth. I look at the influence that he ended up having because he had a wife that loved God with all her heart. She was praying for him. The whole Salvation Army was probably praying for him too. When they found out about that, he said, you got to be kidding me. He locked you out. You know, knowing her, she probably didn't even tell anybody. She probably didn't. She didn't want anybody to think badly of him. And he ended up being such a soul winner, such a general. He was like a general of God on the earth. You want to be like that? You want to be like that? We're people of influence. You're an influencer. Whether you want to be or not. A lot of people are on social media. They think they're influencers. Jesus is the influencer. He's the ultimate influence. And when you have Jesus in your life, you're going to be an influence for him. My question today is, are you? Do you see yourself that way? Or do you see yourself as something else? Say, well, I don't know enough to be an influence. Start where you are. You can't start where you aren't. You just start where you are. Like when Smith Wigglesworth, you know, when he came to the Lord, I mean, there was a lot he had to learn. Polly had been learning all this for years, but he didn't really know. But he got into that book, and he never came out of it. That book began to direct his steps, order his steps, had the say-so in his life, and that God used him specifically in healing. That was how God... He had that an incredible faith to believe. And he cared more about what God thought of him than you or me or anybody ever. He did not care what anybody thought of him. And that's my goal. That's my goal. Or I really don't care. I just don't care. So, y'all stand up. I know sometimes I preach some things that are kind of heavy. They only feel that way because they hit home. I don't know. I'm not good at point one, point two, point three. I just know that living on planet Earth is not the easiest thing we can do. And there are going to be obstacles to you in serving the Lord. There are going to be real obstacles. Satan will make sure. He'll make sure. I don't know anybody who grew up in like the perfect home. You know, because there's people that are imperfect. We're all imperfect. But don't let that stop you from growing. Because you can live long enough where your kids begin to see how much you have changed. Right? It's like give them then a model of what it is to learn the truth and begin to walk it out. Otherwise, they don't have a frame of reference very handy for them to be able to do that. Y'all understand? God, I thank you for your words of life today. They are. You have called us to be people of influence. You called us to this when you chose us. Before the foundation of the world, this was all in your heart. God, we got to know you. We need to know you, Jesus, intimately, personally. And that we have to be willing to change ourselves before we keep trying to change everybody else. There's an old song, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I would substitute with standing in the need of truth. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of truth. It's not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of truth. Because the truth you know will make you free. And once you're free indeed in Jesus. So God, help us to wrap our brain around this concept that we are an influence everywhere we go with everything we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stephen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Everything I have for you is good. For with blessings I have blessed you. I have blessed you and not cursed. I became a curse in your place. So that you can walk free of sin and shame. I've set you free once and for all time. The price was paid once, and it never has to be paid again. You are free. You are free from anything that once had you bound and anything that will try to bind you. You are a new creature born of the Spirit of the living God. He has given you his living word. His word will keep you in the truth so that you will not be deceived by the lies of the enemy. He will try to steal your freedom by deception. Live in the word and let it live in you. You will know who you are, and you will walk in the power of his love. This? Well, I just come in. Now I kind of expect it, but I just come in and I just ask the Lord to, if he's got anything to say to me, that I'm listening. And so I just come in and whatever. He just kind of dictates it to me as if it was I was sitting there and taking dictation. And I just type it out, and then more times than not, it goes along the line of what people are preaching. Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing that because a lot of people don't understand what that is. And I call it a sign and wonder. He doesn't know when I'm going to preach, the topic I'm going to be, subject matter, whatever. And, you know, we're supposed to have signs and wonders. We're at the church. We're at the church. And has anybody been healed of anything this past week? Just this past week? You were? Praise God. Praise God. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And Caleb, you had a response? Okay. Okay. Hang on just a second. Was anybody else healed this week? You were too? Oh, wow. Yes, that's a major, major. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You're just a continued manifestation of the healing power of God from what you went through. My gosh. I give God praise for that. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to let Caleb. I'm going to hell come back where you are, Caleb.
Got a testimony this morning.
Well, you know, last week I told you how I want to be an encourager, and that y'all prayed for me to be that spirit of my mom, encourager. Well, it was Tuesday morning that I went to my job and went to my place of where I teach kids how to spell and count and do numbers. Uh-huh. The reading teacher came up to me and said, "Kay, why don't you come on down to the reading room because we're going to finish our book up." As we were reading about Maui and different things, I said, "You know, this is, you know, encouraging to us." And we talked about how Anne Frank was an encourager. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there next to one of my best friends. One girl was sleeping, another girl was sitting by me. And I did not want to wake the girl up beside me. So I just told them, you know, I want to be an encourager. The girl that was sitting next to me, she said, "Caleb, you are an encourager." And I said, "Can you elaborate on that for me?" She said, "Since you've been here at Holy Angels, you have encouraged all of us." She said, "Not just the staff, not just here at Angel Works, but in the home." She said, "In the gym, in the place where we do our concerts and everything." She said, "You're an encourager." And she told me years before that I was like Joel Osteen. And when she said that, I did not look like Joel Osteen. I do not. And when the other girl said, she said, "Kid, you walk like him and you talk like him." And what I'm saying is, when you encourage somebody, they're watching you, and you could be the sower or the water or the fertilizer, but you're going to be reaping a harvest. Every single one of us, Pastor Kathy, and me especially, I am not someone special. I'm nothing without God. I am going to be strong, and I'm going to continue to be strong until God sees fit to take me where he needs me to be. All of us need to be looking for opportunities, because somebody is reading your life. You are the Bible to someone else, your friends, your coworkers, and somebody needs to hear what you have to say. And I want you to, this week, to pray for opportunities. Say, "Lord, send me somebody." It may be a friend, a coworker, a son, a daughter, somebody. And when you do that, God will increase you more and more. Thank you.
That was awesome. That was just a testimony. Praise God.